hours on Saturday. And really, the focus of this conference is to love on women. That's it. 2020 was a rough year for women. It was a rough year for a lot of people, and men. I'm not going to be biased in that. I'm not going to be sexist, but I'm just saying. It was rough in the sense where a lot of moms ended up becoming teacher, PE teacher, coach, ended up becoming school teacher. Not only are you mom, but you're also all the other things that added into that day. So it was a lot. And so we really felt like we just wanted to love on women. We just really wanted them to see the love of God through this conference. And so we have little fun things planned, little tiny reminders of just how faithful God is and how much he loves you. So if you don't have your ticket, make sure you get your ticket for that. If you know somebody who just needs to be loved on, maybe pray about buying them a ticket for the event. The other thing that we have is, I think that's it, actually. Oh, community groups online. Community groups. Actually, we have, that kind of leads me into what I wanted to talk about for the offering. But for community groups, Richie's doing it, actually. It was supposed to be mine, but other things happened. So, anyway, Revelation, it's been really good. And the Bible talks about in Revelation that you're blessed when you study that book. And I didn't really understand that fully until we really started studying the book of Revelation. And then I realized because your ear is so tuned in and dialed in, that you stop looking here and you look above. And it really is this picture of how God wants us to view our circumstances, because we're temporal here, but that's eternal. And so that's what he wants us to look on. And so I'm really loving this series. It's practical. It's also very spiritual. So it's a fun series. So if you're not involved in a community group, our community groups are listed out there. But by way of that, transitioning, this week I was really praying, and every morning I pray with Lexi on the way to school. And we were praying, and I said, Lord, show us your faithfulness today, God. Show us how faithful you've been to us. And I think this Revelation series kind of helped me recognize that. Because when you view Revelation through the lens of he will do anything to chase your heart, anything. And when you read the book of Revelation and you have that in mind, it causes you to see the Bible differently. It causes you to see his hand on your life differently. And so one of the things that I prayed that morning, and I've never prayed this before, but again, I think this series, this community group has spawned it, was, Lord, show us your faithfulness today. Show us how much you love us, God. Show us how much you've protected us and chased us, run after our heart. And we were driving in the car. I prayed that prayer, and then we said amen. We did our armor of God. 2 minutes later, someone almost hit me, like to the point where I heard screeching behind my car, and I look up, and this car is careening towards me, and I'm bracing because I think she's going to hit me. And she comes to the side. She swerves and comes to the side. We're literally eyeball to eyeball at this point in time. And the Lord spoke to my heart immediately and said, daily, daily, I protect you. Daily, I'm faithful to you. Daily, I watch out for you. And in that moment, it made me appreciate his faithfulness and appreciate his love so much, because I forget just how much he protects me from. And I really do think that's one of the reasons why we're going to praise him for eternity, because we're going to see all the ways that we could have died here, and cancer could have got me here, and faith, and you know, someone's lack of faithfulness or abandonment could have got me here, but it didn't, because he was faithful in all of those things. And so today, church, I want you to remember that daily, daily he loads you with benefits. Daily. And his mercies are new every day. Every day. And his faithfulness and his compassions don't fail us. So stand on that word today. Stand on those promises. Remind yourself when you start to feel a little bit sad, maybe down in the dumps. Remind yourself of how hard he chased your heart. Remind yourself of that, because it will cause your heart to turn, and immediately it will pull you out of that place of despair. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness today, God. We thank you for those times when you chased our heart. God, when we were afar off, the Bible says, you called us, you ran to us. Father, and I thank you for those times, God, when you were near, when we thought you were far, that you were actually carrying us during those seasons, God. And I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that today, as we go through the rest of this service, God, that your anointing would be here. Lord, that whatever is said or done today, Father God, is going to give honor and glory to you. And we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much. Welcome, everybody, today. We are in almost at the end of our series called Blessed. And I just want to encourage you today just to tune your ears just because we're talking about persecution today. And the Bible speaks clearly on this, that if you live any length of days, you're going to be hit on in one way or another when it comes to persecution. It doesn't just mean in the form and of death, but you're going to be chased down in one area of your life, and the enemy's going to try to challenge that because you're on the hit list of hell right now. And so as we pray, I pray that your ears will be open to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to you today, because I think it's important. Father, thank you so much just for taking control of the service, and I pray that you would just give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying, God, hearts to receive. Help us to stand up, Lord, in the midst of hardship and difficulty, because you're in the middle of it. You don't abandon us in it. You don't escape. You don't duck and hide when things get hard. And I thank you, God, that you're near to us during these times. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Matthew, chapter 5. Thank you, Ethan. So blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Verse 12, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. He said, blessed, count it happy that they're insulting you. Count it happy. You are part of a class, not like any other class. You are blessed if you're persecuted. And the enemy's trying to play with me a little bit right now, so I'm trying to duck him. So, because persecution is a reality of life. And what he tries to do is he tries to get in and play with your mind so that he can get your eyes fixed on the temporal and not the eternal. And the reality of it is that you're not staying here, that you are passing through. And that eventually that you will end up in eternity with Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. But that is going to be one day. It's not now. But you can have your eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy set before you endured the cross. But keep your eyes on him, because persecution will come. The Bible is specific about it. It is specific. There are example after example on the apostles and the disciples getting persecuted. Jesus came in to his own, and the Bible said his own did not even receive him. And so he came in to turn the tables upside down on religiosity and to show people what real life was. It was about a relationship based upon love. He summed up the Ten Commandments, and he knocked it down to two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. He took all ten and said, listen, the first five, love God with everything you got. The second five are about your neighbor. And so we're going to show you what real love is. But don't think for a moment as you do that, that there's not going to be a counterattack that comes against you from culture that tries to influence what Jesus is trying to influence you to do. Because the kingdom of God is here now. It's not going to be. It's here now. It's here now. So don't get duped into the lie thinking that, well, one day when I step over in eternity, I won't understand what the kingdom is. No, the kingdom is now. He died to give you access into the kingdom. So if you are a Christian in here and you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you know that you are now into the kingdom. We've talked about this over the last couple of weeks. And so when you're in the kingdom, you have to abide by the kingdom's rules. There are different rules in this kingdom. There are different giants and enemies in this kingdom. There are different spirits and strongholds that your eyes were open to in this kingdom. Before, you might have been oblivious to that. Yeah, you might have watched a movie that would freak you out and like you were all cool with it. But you realize that when you got into the kingdom, now this thing is real. And that you can open up your spirit to things that can grab a hold of you. And if you're not careful, instead of walking in peace and authority, you can walk in fear and despair. Because instead of walking in a spirit of power, love, and sound mind, you walk with a spirit of fear. And the Bible says that you have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So if you are walking with a spirit of fear today, that is not God. It is not God. I don't care. You can debate with me all day. There is no fear in God. God doesn't play. So if there is fear in your life, welcome to life. Okay? If there's anxiety in your life, welcome to life. But a spirit of fear, walking with an attitude of fear to where you're enslaved in fear, is not God. Having a fear of God is right and it's reverent. But not walking before God thinking that he's going to take you out every time you make a mistake. Well, then you just become a slave to fear. And so there's a difference. I can fear God, but I don't have to fear man. I can fear God, but I don't have to fear that he's going to leave me or forsake me. We talked about in Team Rally this morning, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Surely. It doesn't matter whether I'm up or down. Surely. God said, I'm coming for you. Either way, I'm your shepherd. I'm going to make you lie down in green pastures. I'm going to restore your soul. That means that there are going to be times where you're going to be in disruption just because of life. But he said, I'll make you lie down in green pastures and give you the peace that you need. And understand that I'm walking with you and I'm talking with you. And that I'm the Prince of Peace. I'll help you understand what that looks like. Yes, even in the midst of persecution, when you are insulted, God said, I will be with you. David said, they're dying all around me, but you're with me. If you ever think you had it bad, I want, just go through the book of Psalms, Proverbs, Job. Just take a look at the Old Testament and what they had to endure and what they had to go through just to proclaim the name of Jesus and to stand up and raise up a standard of righteousness in where God had called them to be. Whether it was a king, whether it was a prophet, whether it was a servant, their life was on the line 24/7. And whether you realize it or not, your life is on the line. Well, what do you mean? If God were to let you see right now the things that are trying to come against you, the things that are trying to come against your community, the things that are trying to come against your nation, and the things that are in this world, you would be shocked to see all the things that God is holding back from affecting you right now. Because the spirit realm is more real than this realm. And persecution is a real thing. You don't think persecution is a real thing. We talk about that. There are some, roughly about 27 million slaves in the world today. 27 million. I'm not just talking about the, hey, we're going to work on a farm slave. No, I'm talking about sex trafficking. I'm talking about people who are being bought for labor. That's happening in the world today. You don't see that a lot or hear that a lot, but we're a hub here in Florida. And there are things that are happening all around you that you don't even see that God shields you from. And the police help you with. You'll get that later. So don't think for a moment that God is not acquainted and understand what persecution looks like. There are people right now who are being taken and snatched from their homes while you're here. While you're in the middle of service, worshiping God in a, right now, a free country. There are people who are not in a free country who are meeting underground because their faith is so sacred to them and community is so valuable to them that they're meeting because of who Jesus is. And the question is, and I'm concerned about the answer to this question, especially in America, is that when push comes to shove, what will it be for you when you have to answer for it? Because he said, plainly, if you deny me before men, I'm going to deny you before the Father. But if you tell people who I am, I'm going to tell the Father, I know this one. I know this one. Because you live for him now. But you can live your whole life, and you can do good for God, and you can make it to the end. And all of a sudden, push comes to shove, and some hardship and some difficulty came in, and you weren't expecting it. And at the last minute, turn away. Say, it's not for me, it's too hard. What a travesty that would be. That's why the Bible talks about endurance and making it to the end. Because if you can endure it and make it to the end, he said, you'll receive a crown of life. Crown of life. Now, I'm not just talking about a crown of life eternally. I believe that there's a crown of life that God wants to bestow upon you now once you move through different trials and circumstances in your life. Life is a result of it. Life. But there will be a crown that you'll get eternally if you endure to the end. What does it profit you if that, okay, I did well for a season, but then when it really counted at the end, when you were stepping over into eternity where it really begins and it counts, that you dipped out and said, I can't do it. We got people dipping right now. They're dipping. COVID was a perfect example of where people were at. And I call it the great separator. Because not only did churches shut down, but people shut down and still have not fully found their way back to God. And not that they were ever with him, but they couldn't really grasp the fact that, well, if it's not convenient for me, then I might as well just take the time I need to seek God on my own. The problem is that we have fallen into this, in love with this idea of social church online, where it's like, well, I'm online now. I mean, I just experienced church online. You're not experiencing church. You're not experiencing church. You're missing the life that God has designed you to live around other believers just because you're scared. And you have to wrestle with what you're scared of. I made a decision after God prompted me last year to get moving again in what we were doing, that come hell or what might come, I was not going to live in fear. And Missy would probably chastise me because I wasn't wearing my mask all the time and I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. But the reality of it is that I couldn't breathe in it. I couldn't talk in it. I wanted to turn tables upside down when I walked in the stores. I couldn't deal with the fact that I could not communicate with people because you were so scared that my molecule in my mouth was going to get upon you and all of a sudden COVID was going to be born and we were going to have a problem. I said, you know what? And I said, if I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. I'm not walking in fear. I'm not going to walk in fear. To the point where I got it. To the point where I got it. Thank you, Jesus, for answering that prayer. It didn't matter. Okay. I'm not walking in fear. You can. I don't care. I got it. Praise God. It sucked for me. And I know some of y'all got the sniffles and you got a headache. That wasn't for me. But thank God I'm on the other side of it. And I can declare God's goodness that he allowed me to get out of it and pass through it. But it could have been easy to duck out. And it was tempting. But to say, no, we're going to get past this. There's too much at stake here. There are churches right now that are still not open. I'm not talking about necessarily small churches. Still not. Because of fear. And you have to wrestle with that ideology that says we can't gather when it's allowed because of what might happen, because of fear that has gripped people. And the enemy was so cunning that he got in, and it was an opportunity for him immediately to start separating people. Wheat, chaff, wheat, chaff, wheat, chaff. It was a prime example, and it was an opportunity for him to really get into the church and just start wreaking havoc with people. And I believe God, God allowed it. Yeah, God allowed it. God's sovereign. He understands it. And God said, we're going to start sweeping houses. We're going to start sweeping them. Because we forget that God is on the throne and that he looks down at his church and he sees the state of his church. And when he looks down and he compares the state of his church to the state of the churches around the world, he probably is a little bit disappointed with the fact of what they had to endure 2,000 years ago and even today, and the fact that we get to do it without persecution. You have a responsibility to stand up for the salvation that you've been given. And if you renege on that responsibility, it's not on me, it's on you. And so if you can't stand up in the midst of this, it's going to be difficult for you to stand up in the midst of what might be coming. It was no accident that this happened when it happened. God was getting his church ready and said, church, we're getting ready to go through a season. And I need you to get your belt on. I need you to get your armor on. Strap on the helmet. Pick up the sword and take the shield, because we're about to hit some stuff and come against some things that are really going to challenge your belief system and what you believe about me. You better strap up. I can't strap up, man. It's just too hard. It's too difficult. Where are you? I picture God in the garden yelling out to Adam, where are you? I'm hiding. Why are you hiding? Because I'm naked. Well, who told you? I already know you're naked, but who told you? Church, who told you to hide? Who told you to say, well, this is the way it's got to be. I got to hide my faith during this time. It wasn't God. And so the enemy moved in through a crack and found a hole because of comfortability and because of it's always how we used to do it. But now if that's changed and adjusted, now where are we at? Listen, that shouldn't be an issue. If things change and things don't work out or they don't manifest that the way we think they should manifest, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden that our faith is worth throwing away. I just can't stand with God anymore because it's not the way it's supposed to be. It was never the way it's supposed to be. You were never supposed to get comfortable. You were never supposed to lay down your head at night and wonder, okay, well, is God going to come through? Yeah, I'm going to come through. But we talked about this before. There is no safety apart from him. There's no safety. And so if you are now believing the fact that, well, I'm going to live this safe, comfortable life, you are in the wrong religion. Wrong. If he loads you with benefits every single day, you know he's watching out for your six. I don't know what makes us think then we're not going to have to encounter difficulty or persecution just from people that we know. Yes, people that you know. Even your own family members, for things that you stand up to do that they may not disagree or agree with, it doesn't even matter. But what do you say? What do you say about it? Stand up for me in your families. I don't do it that way no more. Why? I just don't do it that way no more. And I'm not getting sucked down that way because I'm doing it a new way. I'm part of a new bloodline now. So it's a new way. I do it this way now. If you don't like that, you don't have to wrestle with me. You wrestle with God because I know where my confidence is. So if God has done that, listen, you ought to just have a little praise break in your mind right now and think about all the things that God has taken you from, delivered you from. I'm telling you, separated you from people that if God didn't do it, you wouldn't even be here. You ought to just have a little praise break. Yeah. All the stuff that you can look back and say, man, thank God for delivering me from that because that's not me. I don't know how you even end that right now. Stop playing. And we're not just talking about God who takes care of you and your family. If God has separated you out from your family, it's for a reason. It's for a reason. If God is doing something in your emotions, it's for a reason. He said, I want you solely. I want you with me solely. That I want to be the love of your soul solely. Because when persecution does come, you remember who the lover is. You remember who takes care of you. And that you won't dip because you realize that I didn't leave you in that season. I'm not going to leave you in this season. That's the kind of relationship I want to be in. That God said, I'm looking for people who will ride with me through the hardship, who will ride with me through the storms and not check out. Come on, stop checking out. And you realize that these people who are bringing insults against you are just people. But they that know their God will be strong and do great exploits. But you will not know God and be strong and do great exploits if you don't know God and are acquainted with him in the weak parts of your life and in the tough parts because you saw him do stuff for you in there so that when you get out, that you can do those things. There are times in my life where God has talked to me like a true son. True son. Not like an abandoned orphan, but like a true son who's been adopted into his family. Get up. Stand up. Do what I called you to do. No, I need Jesus to tell me what I want to hear. No. Stand up. Tie them together. Do what I called you to do. I want, all right, Lord, but I just remember what I'm dealing with. Stand up. Tie them together. do what I called you to do. And every time I would do that, he would show up. Because it was by faith and not by my feelings. So if you can get over your feelings and get over what you think the response is going to be, God said, I'll come through for you. But if you acquiesce every single time something hard and difficult comes in, you will never realize the value that you have in me as a son. Because if heaven is backing you, and if I love you, and I have a plan for your life, you know that nothing that comes against you, number one, I don't allow, and number two, that I can't help you deal with. And so if you are not in relationship with me, you won't see it for what it is. It is just an opportunity for you to stand up, exercise the faith that I've given you, and get over some of the humps in your life that have continually tripped you up your whole life. You are emotional for a reason. I understand. I've given you emotions, but your emotions are ruling you. So I need you to understand, I'm going to make you do things that we don't want to do it, because I'm helping you start to rule your emotions. Because your emotions are killing you, and they are helping you drift off into places that you don't need to be. And you know what? When you feel sorry for yourself, and you open yourself up to things that are not in me, I'm trying to stop that. Stop feeling sorry. When you feel sorry for yourself, turn to me. You keep robbing yourself of the progress I want to make with you. Yeah, progress. Because when you get moody, we got problems. You know it's true. But if you link into me, connect with me, I'll help solve some of that stuff for you. I'll help be the go-between, and I'll help pull you up from the ashes of defeat and the shadow of death. I'll help bring you out of that into life if you will allow me into those situations. Allow me. Because what he's saying is, and listen, ain't nobody got time for you to stay down there. If I got up from the grave and I am seated in victory, I don't have time for you to stay in seasons of mourning and see. Listen, I am up and I am living and I am resurrected and I'm ready to do things on your behalf. Ain't nobody got time for you to stay down there because you're carrying my name and I'm going to lead you beside the right path for my name's sake. But I need you to get up and I need you to wash your face and I need you to continue to move on and be a big boy and be a big girl. If we're talking about the end times, we're talking about Christ coming back soon. We're talking about like being about his business. We cannot be sitting down on the floor wondering whether or not he likes me, she likes me, who's coming, who's going, are we in, are we out, what part are you for? Okay, what do I, no, I don't know about me, I can't be that. And so we don't have time to play around with stuff like that. Those games are over. You got to be about God's business and be about what he's called you to do so that when times do come in, that you have the right frame of mind to answer in season and out of season for the reason of the hope that you have inside of you. You got to be ready in the right frame of mind. You got to be ready. This is the type of God you serve. You're reading the word and you're looking at all these things that all these people went through that Jesus spoke to these people about, and he prophesied and he saw these people, and then you read the New Testament, they read the book of Acts and all these things, and oh man, these people are being persecuted for their faith. And all of a sudden you get saved and we're walking through seasons and wondering what's going on. What's that? Look at the word. That's the mirror. Where's God? Well, one, he's living inside of me. Two, what does his written word say? In the end, there'll be perilous times. People will be lover of themselves, lover of their money. There's going to be relationship problems. You start checking those things off. Yep. So you got to say to yourself, all right, where am I in this situation? Called out ones, ecclesia. You're the called out ones. It doesn't mean I'm not going to approach those things and have to deal with those things. But listen, should be way past the elementary teachings of the gospel. Way past that stuff. Why do you think there's such a push now that God is pressing and he's coming after you and he's trying to help deal with some of the ways in your life that are childish, because he knows that you're going to miss out on the opportunity that I've called you to. You're going to miss out on it if you're not where you need to be. I've got something for you. I'm knocking on the door of your heart for a reason. Let me in. Let me deal with you. I'm dealing with you. If you let me deal with you, everything else will not be as important as you think it is. And so that you can follow. So when I ask you to follow me, you can follow me without asking everybody else for permission. We got to apologize for everything we do. Where are you? What? I'm not following anyone else. I'm following him. There are things that I can get off you, that I catch off you, but ultimately what happens is I'm following him. Because in the end, that's who saved my soul. That's who's saving my soul. And so the apology chore that we go on sometimes, because of who we are, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Listen, you are putting yourself in a position lower than what God has created you to be. So stop apologizing. We already know. I already told you. We already know you're crazy. We already know you got things going on in your life. We're already there. Don't stop apologizing for it. People will check you. We'll get you in a place where you need to be. But stop walking around me like, I'm just sorry for my ass. Then you rob the people of who you are. Listen, if you're robbing people, and not just robbing people, but you strapping yourself. I just can't be myself because people are going to say stuff. Well, who are you concerned about? When has it ever been about what other people say? If you think about it. But it has become that now. And now what other people say dictate policies. Dictate what people do. Because I'm concerned about what you're going to say. And if you don't say it right, then you may not like me. They're not going to like you. They persecuted the prophets. You think they liked the prophets? You think the prophets were liked by people? Man, Elijah was a... strong prophet. Samuel was... strong prophet. So much so that Elijah on the Mount Carmel, when he's challenging the prophets of Baal, when it was all said and done, he said, all right, bring them down to the valley. Killed them all. It didn't say he brought other people with him to do it. He said he killed them all down in that valley. We're not talking about guys who played. We're not talking about guys who were confused about who they were. It didn't mean they don't have issues. We know they had issues, but you see more of the victories than you do the issues. And so because God was working through them in those issues, cutting down idols, bringing the nation back where it needed to be, we're talking about that type of God. We're talking about those type of prophets that God used to establish his church. Read Hebrews 11. Disciples who were sawn in two, boiled. Well, I know, but the flavor of the coffee today, it just wasn't good. It just didn't taste right. I'm upset. I'm running a review. I'm running a review on Google. I'm running a review. You know why? They're going to know today. They're going to know. Brew your own coffee. We make monuments out of stuff that's just so small and insignificant, and God looks down and says, hey, listen, if that's really what matters to you, we're missing the point. You got people fighting for their lives. Trying to get back on their feet. Fighting for their lives, trying to find some sort of hope. Fighting for their lives to try to get their businesses started again. Fighting for their lives all around you. And we got so concerned about this little stuff. And really what it does is that it shows the immaturity of people. The body is made to be strong. Everyone's supposed to be doing his part. Ephesians 4 talks about it. Doing his part. If you are doing your part, you don't have time to worry about the small stuff. Do your part. But if you're not doing your part, you got to ask yourself why. Why am I not doing a part? I got offended. Well, listen. Okay, listen. That's just, man, you're going to get offended. The gospel is offensive. You're going to get offended. Don't look for a church. Well, you might. You might want to find a church that doesn't do it for you. I said, well, I don't want to be offended. Well, if you don't, if you're not being offended, something's wrong. Well, hold on, let me PC it for you. You're not being challenged. Something's wrong. Because the gospel was offensive, so much so that the majority of his disciples left him. Well, I thought he had 12. No, he had more than that. He had more. We see the 12 that he picked, but there are more disciples that were following him that left because it was just too much. And so the question for you is it too much? When is it going to be too much for you? The question should be, nah, it'll never be too much. It might be tough to bear sometimes because I'm a Christian, but I can make it. I can make it. You can hit me, but I'll still make it. Because I know who I believe in and where my hope comes from. Because in the end, what matters is that when I step over into eternity, he says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Yes, sir. You think I'm going to go through all this and not enter into joy later? You think that I want to miss heaven just because of all the other stuff that's here? And I'm going to miss it and at the end turn around and say, no, I can't do it no more? Heck no. I got to talk to some people. I want to get in, and I want to begin to live for what God has begun to speak in my spirit about what eternity is about to be like. Get in. I want to get ready for that. So that's what I'm getting ready. It's a dress rehearsal. There are things that are happening in my life that are just preparing me for that. Insults, whatever. Light afflictions. They're light. These things are light. And as you grow, it becomes lighter. It's lighter, man. That's something for you? That's why not everybody likes me. They're not going to like you. Because you bring disruption to the norm and comfortable. And if you're a Christian and doing it like Jesus did, because he brought disruption to what was normal and comfortable, it's going to be the same thing for you. And if you can take it, you'll make it to the other side. But you got to be willing to do the things necessary to grow with him. There is nowhere in the Bible that I see that Jesus left people the way they were, the ones that were being used. And all of a sudden, I had to left them there, and that's it. No, okay, I'm going to follow you. He began to change them, rearrange them. Taking Peter from where he was, all of a sudden, to the end of his life, saying, I'm not worthy. Turn that cross upside down. Crucify me that way. Because it doesn't matter where you started. If you allow God to do what he has to do, you can throw insults, persecution, whatever might come at you, but in the end, it's not my will, but your will be done. It's not my life, but your life. Listen, it's about your glory. Your glory. And eventually, I'm going to enter into eternity with all the saints that have gone before me. You talk about all those saints that have gone before you that are rooting for you right now, Sharon, the great cloud of witnesses that have gone before you and said, listen, do it. You got it. Persevere. You got it. You got it because we're up here doing our thing. It's worth it, but you got to persevere. Don't quit. That's why sometimes it feels like all of heaven's talking to you. It's not just one, but the Spirit of heaven, the kingdom of God that is inside of you, speaking and saying, push through it. You got it. The other side, there's something waiting for you. You don't want to miss it. You know how it is. You don't want to miss it. Don't miss it. No, but, you know, I just got married, and I got to go take care of that. Listen, somebody in my family has died. I got to go bury them. And there's always something. Always going to be something. The Lord does not intervene and interrupt your life at a convenient time where you don't have to make a choice of whether or not you're going to follow him. Elijah was moving by, and Elisha saw him. Something about that guy. Hey, listen. I'll tell you what, I got to go back. Now, listen, I got, Elijah said, I got a place to be. You got to do your thing. You want to, that's up to God. You want to do it, you follow me. And Elijah said, you know, there's something about you. Burn the fields, burn everything you got, and just follow Elijah. You don't hear anything about him going home the rest of his life. I think that's the issue. That's the concern. We want to have a place to land. You want to have a place to be like, wait, as long as I can get back home to safety, then I'll go with you, Lord. As long as a plane is in the air, I'm good. But if you can't guarantee me that thing won't crash, I'm not getting on a plane. You're missing the point. It's not your life anymore. Follow me. Follow me wherever. If you can guarantee my safety and my success, I'll go. Nah, I can guarantee I'll be with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you, but I'm not going to guarantee the way I'm going to take you. So don't try to make it safe and make it about you, because if I call you to do something, I need you to be willing to do it, and I worry about the outcome all the time. That's not what it's about. God said, I'll get you to where you need to be. Remember, you're in me now. Your life is in me now. I got to plan it every step of my way, not missing a point. Many other plans in your heart, but God says, I direct the steps. So you're trying to figure everything out. You're trying to, I saw you do that. You did a zigzag here. I don't know what the heck that was. Did something there. You're trying to figure all this stuff. Stop trying to figure it out. You say, I'm going to direct the steps. I'm making something in you that you can't see. I'm doing a work in you that you can't understand. But just know you're better for it. You're valuable. When you get out of it, you're going to want more of me. Just trust me. Okay, good. So you start going through it. Oh, that was cool. It was crazy, weird. I didn't like it, but it was cool. It did something to me now. I'm stronger. I saw something in my body the other day I didn't see before, a muscle that was developed. Let's do that again. Let's do it again. All of a sudden, it doesn't matter no more. And so that when people come against you and stuff like that, you're like, you've been so chiseled, and God has done something in you that don't affect you anymore. It just falls right off you. It don't matter no more. Listen, I'm working with something that you can't see. There are things inside of me that I'm dealing with spiritually you can't see, emotionally that God is doing on a deeper level you can't see. So listen, it's okay. Do your thing. I'm going to go this way, because in the end, I'm going to be better for it. That's what I want. I want to know in the end that it was worth it. That's what I want to know. All this stuff, it's worth it. Got the great lean going on right now. We got the great lean. Jesus, safety. We're doing. You know, Will Ferrell in Elf on the elevator, on the escalator, 1 foot, and everyone's like, dude, just go up the stairs. Never been there before. He goes up the whole way like this. He gets there, right? He got there. Some of y'all just need to do that with Jesus. Just be, all right, Lord, just take me up where I'm going. And when you get there, you look back and say, okay, I'm good. And then move your other leg closer. And then that's what happens. Every time you go from faith to faith, glory to glory. Oh, I see. Oh, this is easier this time. Okay. So this one, this the thing that was lagging now comes quicker. Okay, that was good. I saw you now. You're good. You're good. Come on, baby. Come with me. Same thing. Yeah, okay, good. It's quicker. And trust becomes easier. Becomes easier. It's okay, it might hurt, but okay. I trust easier. It's good for me. This is good. This is a good way. This is a good way. Because sus being torn off, it's a good way. The greatest need of the church is a trust fall right now. It's a trust fall. Y'all just need to take it in. Yesterday I was at Sky Zone for a birthday. You know, it's crazy. It's a cesspool of disgustingness. You know, in the midst of, like, coming out of COVID, it's like, ah! We're all jumping in styrofoam balls and stuff. It's cool, though. God's got you. So it's cesspool. So we're all sitting there, and everyone's, like, launching off the springs. It was fun. Everyone's having a good time. And we were, like, we did this one part where I was measuring distance with people. I'm like, all right, you go. Guys are measuring, just doing, like, aerial assaults to see how far they can go to the other side. It was great. You know, my nephew won. But But there was no fear in the landing because of what was there. It was padded. It was built to handle the stress of people who have weight on them. So you got guys going in and just launching off the top, man, doing like little things at the end, having a great time, just doing what they're going to do. No fear, because they're going to land on something that's going to take it. You got someone who can take it if you will just jump off to where he's calling you to jump off, because he's the rock that's higher than you. He can take it. He can take it. Just jump off. What do you say? Just come on, just jump. I know, but I feel abandoned. I know, but I got you. I got you. This is beneficial for you. I want you to feel that I'm with you in this. This, just jump off it. And when you begin to see that he's there and that he's sufficient and that he can hold it, then it becomes, he can handle your emotional turbulence. He can handle it. He knows how to handle that. Okay? So don't think that you have to back off. He can handle it. Okay? But he wants you to be better. So let him handle it, but help you get better. He can handle the lack. If you'll just give him yourself, he'll make something out of your life. He can make up the difference. He knows how to provide. If you'll just, I'm telling you, and I'm going to say this again, if you'll just start tithing, that's what tithing is. I'm jumping out. I don't know where it's going to come from, but I'm tithing. All of a sudden, God says, I got you. You know, George, the other day, I got a phone call from Jean. She said that there was some money that she found in the account. God does stuff like that. There was some stuff in that account, and God, I can't believe it. And it was been there the whole time, but you decided, I'm going to stop doing this. I said, nah, I need blessing. And all of a sudden, God started coming through. And I started seeing these things. And then I saw God as Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And I realized that this is George. We can trust him. Guess what? I'm giving him everything. Little by little. Honey. And all of a sudden, it becomes something that totally changes your life. I just can't do it. Yeah, you can. Throw it on him. He'll meet you. But it's not the way the world does it. I know. It's the way God does it. Because you got to be able to take blessing and persecution at the same time. Because some people won't be able to, Lord help us, some people won't be able to get or understand the type of blessing that God wants to bring into your life. And so if you can't handle the persecution and the blessing at the same time, God says, it's not going to work. Because the higher you go, people are going to want to take shots at you and wonder where you got, where you came from. The only thing I can tell you is this. Number one, you haven't gone through what I went through. Number two, that I serve a God who's more than enough. And he is provided in every area of my life. And you can't, if you have an issue, you can take it up with him because there's no lack in him. And so he's provided. And so he's taken me through this, and he went through this. If I were to recount the times that I saw God come through, I don't have to worry, but you can say what you want. I'm going to take this blessing. Thank you, Jesus. And if you said that I deserve this, I deserve. You're right. I do deserve to be happy. I just thank you for reminding me of that price that was paid. Thank you for that to know, because you hung on that cross and you stretched your arms, and that that last one we got through together, me and you. Less worried about people, concerned about him. And when that happens, guess what? My life begins to rise. Let's all stand up to our feet. Fear can be a nasty interruption. Nasty. It turned the world upside down within a year. Within a year. Upside down. To the point that people are still fighting on whether or not if we can or we can't. But there have been people now who have finally stood up, and now people are stepping out. States are freer, opening up, realize that, hold on, we can't stay in this. This is not productive for our health, because this is not the way God designed. They may not be saying it, but back in the mind, the spirit world, this is not the way God designed it. God said, I purchased it and I died so that you can be free. And so the world's still trying to shake itself off. Shake itself off. There are Christians right now still trying to, like, shake it off, and with good reason. But, however, we don't allow one season to dictate a lifetime of God's goodness. One trial, one difficulty, all of a sudden erases what God has done. That is not who God is. And we got to know where we're at and where we stand with that. So my challenge to you today is I want you to continue to keep living. Continue to keep living even though other people are not. You keep living. You keep stepping out. I don't know. I'm doing well. I'm doing really well. I'm doing really well right now. Really well. Why? My trust in God is at an all-time high. I'm doing well. Me and God we're doing great. Why are you talking about God? Because he's the one that's being sufficient. He's the one that's coming through. He's the one that's doing it for me. We're doing real well right now. Real well. I mean, excellent. We're doing excellent. Why? Well, aren't you afraid? Nah, not really. Door of opportunity. Right there. Well, I tell you know what? If you will just, and all of a sudden, allow the seeds to get planted. You know women right now, women who need to be connected back in to the body. This is a time. Time. The way you live your life is a testimony of how God's faithfulness has been shown to you in your life. If you walk around discouraged all the time, what you say to the world is that you serve a God who is not able. I didn't say discouragement's not real. If you walk in it all the time, you're missing it. You serve a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works inside of you. Inside of you it works, but it has to work inside of you. That means that when the situations come in, allow God to birth what it needs to birth in your life, but you're going to have to step this way and move. That's where some of you are right now. God's just saying real quick, just get to stepping. Just get to stepping. You're there. You're like right there. Just get to step in with me. And it might be at home in your closet. Just get to step in. But God is too faithful to allow you to stay there. If surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and he said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, then you know God's goodness is going to follow up behind you and push you to where you're going to have to make a decision to move into what he has for you. He's too good to let you stay here. He's too good to let you live in your emotions and eat your way into depression. He's too good. He's too good to allow you just to stay there, rehearsing the same things to yourself day after day about who you are. He's too good. He's given you a new nature, a new mind. He's too good to let you walk in lack. He's too good, but he can't wink or compromise at sin. So if you're sitting there deciding which way you're going to go and you're leaning this way or that way, God said, I need you to be in or out. I need you to be hot. I need you to be cold, because I cannot take lukewarm. Just be in with me. Come on, I'm trying to help you. Just make a decision. I can handle it either way. And you know how that looks like for you. You know when people will use the word being lukewarm with you. They're like playing the game. You don't know where you're at. You don't know where they're at. And they're trying to like dance around you. You got to get to the point where you're like, man, stay where you want to stay. Because it's not getting us anywhere. And God presents that for us every day. Listen, today I present before you life and death. Choose life and you'll live. Choose death and you'll die. It's simple, but yet it's complicated for people. Because they're trying to figure out whether or not it's worth going to the life side. Because the death side has been good to them in their emotions. Because they feel good because of that nature is being satisfied and filled. But they don't understand that they're killing themselves with stuff that's not giving them life. And God says, if you just turn to this side, I'll give you the life that you need. And so the next time your person tries to come in and tries to pull you away, you're not on the dark side anymore, Luke. You're here. Who are you listening to? He said, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If you hear me, let me in. God knocks different than the enemy. When God knocks, you know it's God. There's a weight that's there. When the enemy knocks, he's playing with your emotions and trying to get you to sink up into things that are not profitable for you. The enemy will start trying to get you to chase cravings. And God says, if you just chase me, I'll help you deal with it. And there's battle that goes on all the time. And we're trying to make steps. And God said, just pull your leg in. Just come in with me. I'll help you deal with that. You don't got to be perfect. I'm not looking for you to be perfect. All I am is looking for you to be in the process. And when we get into the hard stuff, don't bail at the hard time. When I'm about to pull the root out, don't buck me. When I'm about to get to it, don't writhe and try to like get out of it. Stay in it and take it. Because there's something there that you need. You need to see my grace is sufficient. Man, God is good. Every person in here, Lord, we thank you for their willingness to walk with you. Talk with you. I pray today, God, that we would enter into a new relationship with you, not based upon our feeling, but based upon how good you've been. How good you've been.